stop doing it this way. And the third is, be angry. There's a proper time to be angry. But don't be angry and sin. And don't harbor that for a long period of time. Now, I obviously have already stuck my hand for you. I'm saying, I think the last is 1 year. I think that for over 50 weeks, if that is the original language to it, I think that's what it says. I think we as Christians need to have righteous indignation. You can't have malicious anger. Paul talks about that in the same passage that he read. He certainly can't have an uncontrolled temper. But I think there are times when you can get angry. Christ, I believe, was angry in the temple. Because he saw the abuse of the house of prayer, the house of worship. He saw them making merchandise and doing things that could never have been done before. And the scripture says that God is angry with the wicked every day. Now, I understand God has the right to do things that I don't necessarily have the right to do. So I'm not trying to put myself in God's place. But I think there is a place for anger. I hope that every one of you gets really angry if you choose for my victory. For us. I'm with all of you. I'm living in that. In places, public places, where children have to look. I hope that really comes to mind. I hope it makes you angry enough to be willing to do something about it. Because it is going to affect your family. Going to affect. I hope that you get really angry at adultery, at divorce, at the abuse of children, at abortion. I hope those things really make you angry. Why? Because they're so contrary to the Word of God. And because as Christians, they're so repulsive to it. They fight against everything that we believe, we stand for, and we trust. I hope you get angry at drugs and alcohol, especially with children. You pawned off on them, getting them addicted. I hope that means. Because those are the things that cut away from the family, of the belief, of our family, and of our relationship. All right, Jerry's going to come, and he's going to take the public section for a matter of community.
If you read the Bible, there is going to be a communication store, because there is going to be a biblical principle of communication. I've heard the spoken to you about being truthful and about there being a point for anger. And I'd like to read some verses, and again, you have a scripture with you up for us so that you don't have to be thinking about it. But you have your presence. We're going to be looking at, first of all, at verses 2 and 3. Be completely covenant and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And then verse 15, instead of speaking in the wrong way, Paul says, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up in union to his effect that is Christ. He says we will be covenant to your Christians. We will resemble our Heavenly Father. This is the all of you will be sitting there, how much we all believe we will go up in the dream to protect our bodies. And we're again looking at verse 21. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful to building other talk according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Another scriptural principle for communication is do wholesome words. It's written in the book of the Psalms, Psalm 19, verse 14, that we became our best friend. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is the Psalm of prayer. And he's saying, Lord, I want what I say to be speaking to you. And then this is going to be my action comes to the point of communication is already beginning. And so the Psalm is back something to say, I want the meditation of my heart. What I'm thinking. But that is the truth. What is it in the mouth? It is in the heart. And that is why scriptural principles and very specific is so important. The battle doesn't begin in the mouth, but it begins in the heart. We're going to look at this scenario and consider how we might respond with wholesome words or otherwise in this scenario. We're going to look at the fact of an exasperated mother with her child in grocery store. I said it after the night here in school. That will just theoretically consider. And then we're going to look at a second scenario, an exasperated spouse regarding a job ongoing by the other party of the couple. It could be if the wife has asked the husband to a new spouse, and they're able to do the spouse and see if they can help them do well. It could be that the husband has gone out to see the church and the wife that has won and the child has been, I'll get your shirt iron for you. Go to the closet for this shirt and you can take it out there and go from there. It could be that the wife asks the husband, would you please teach his son about the woman's child and yes. I talked to him and he said, this is what he's usually speaking. It's been several days, it's been a week. Dad's never gotten around to speaking to John yet. And so it looks like his dad is okay. And his dad had a good his mom and women have a good and so mom is irritated. It could be that he didn't go to the past to me and he had to move back to the next day. Whatever, one spouse is exasperated with another. Now, before we consider these scenarios, let's just get a handle on the relationship. What is the relationship? Well, the more justified I see it, the more justified I feel that in reaching the end of my patience, in my sense of kindness, to get the gun on the floor. The more justified I feel that's the have a right to be angry about it. We have a right to vent our anger. That's our approach. That's our human information approach. And it is a guilty collective of the matter. So, we have a choice. We can either react my way, the easy way, and that is to attack the other person's motive, the other person's character, with unwholesome words. And that's the easy way. That's the automatically spout out of the volcano of anger. Or, we can choose God's way, which says to you, do not let any unwholesome past matter to mind. Or you can ask that it like swearing, taking the Lord's name in vain, or it doesn't do anything. And it also has to do with the new person that you say is your fault and is your fault. We have a choice between the easy way of unwholesome words, knowing your own sinful words, or God's way. Scenario number two, the exasperated spouse. I'm going to use the word about people who the husband, the wife has asked the husband to dad to he didn't send back to the dad as well, and he survived, the husband survived, and the wife is being angry. Okay, her anger is built up, she feels justified in venting her feelings, and she asked the husband nicely to keep that, and she made it up into this place. And so she's here now. You don't really care about this problem. You don't care if your son grows up like a frog. It doesn't matter to you that I wrestle with it. I have to do it. I have to take these dirty clothes up off the floor. I have to put them in the hair. I have to wash them. And go on. Why are you? No. Are you shy? Are you afraid of your son? If he can tell you, why is he so stubborn about this? It's all of these reasons. Reformation like this. My heart. And I really just need an amount of reflection because I hate it. What is the matter? Do not let things happen to you. And everybody is talking. So you're going to be talking. And you're going to be talking. Because, okay,
and
going to benefit the movement by helping them do the demonstration. And he's going to benefit himself by putting the movement in a more receptive mood. In James 1:19, James tells us everyone to be quick and listen, slow to speak, and slow to complain. It's easier to be a good listener when you tell the truth. It's harder to be a good listener when you have a good listener. Let's think about some of those terms that you haven't heard. Let's take a look at it. We can put on the subject of the letter. You can use the best you want to get something because it makes you feel good. You let off steam. You feel desperate to present your argument. And you don't want to listen to the other person's side. You want to interrupt to answer the other person's argument. You think you might forget that first before you forget your excellent rebuttal. What happens when you're not willing to listen, even when you're angry? You only retreat. The impatience and the anger. Notice the progression in the verse. Listen, speak, and anger. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to speak. Another term, it's difficult to be good with youth and women. And the rest of that time, I'm speaking generally. I got a message talking to youth and her husband. What do you mean? Maybe because I'm really sorry, but I do. Why is it that when you're busy, it might even be in a public place, if you're in a public place, you get a really huge question from your client? Like, how come things are so different? If you think of it, I don't know for you not to do it. Or, where do babies come from? And you think, that's a very important question that you're sitting there right now. But you're busy. What do you do? When your child needs to talk and you're working in the kitchen, you're not busy. After all, two are more important than things and programs. But I say that, and at the same time I have to say sometimes there are conditions that you have to do, and you must be faithful. And so you may not be able to stop. Determined by some reason, which you can usually plan another time and make a definite appointment. Let's think of the time testing and relationship where you really need to be done. Lord, I have to do anything. And you're going to have to do that. You know what I mean? I'm not going to be here. I'm just going to have to do that. And I think when you get older, you can actually look for you to do that. By getting in there, you're going to be able to do that. But you want to make a little appointment and give an age appropriate answer. You found that they're young, you're very young. And our son's just being this or something. mother and dad, you know, saying that this is something that mother and dad is going to be on this day. And so it was a calling. But it was a little hopeful. If it is a diet, okay. There are emergencies. So, if you're busy with another person, when I was busy with that piano lesson, for that lesson, I had to spend some time about sitting and talk on the phone with another person coming to murder, and I can't make my first people late while I'm talking to the phone. So I have a pre-word of prayer with my phone on the phone. My phone is moving to something that way. Ask God to see you. Making it into noise. Talking on the phone and doing your work in the kitchen. You may be pretty good at that. You may be able to combine talking with a family member and doing the ironing. I remember hearing a story of a very wise Indian mother who used to set up a little center for the daughter was very young, set up a center for the ironing board. And she and the daughter would spend several hours, and this is a little bit of the highlight, ironing, and of course the little one, you know, the same promotion. But what did they do when they were ironing the board? They would have to get married. They would have to get married. Mother left the little one. Mother asked the woman, and as that girl grew up, in fact, it was right now, she was a great woman. She said, the time came when we both had real iron board, and I was helping my mother to command me. And it was over the ironing board that we got most of our business and God was with me. When you have a plan for the moment, how about planning for the moment? Make listening a priority. Think hard. Make the time. You might say, yes, but when I have time, my spouse or my child doesn't always want to talk that truth. And I'm going to give you some things that work for us. And you may have to try to come a little bit. You know what I mean by trying to come? In the olden days, you had to pour some water back into the pump this morning to get it going to draw the water up. And that was called priming the pump. And so you always saved a little bit of water to pour back in so that when you started pumping in, you could get the water to continue to flow. You might have to prime the pump a little bit. After it's satisfying the meal, it's a good time to talk. The blood sugar levels are up. You're thinking more clearly. The other person has their full tummy and is satisfied. Another favorite thing is the pump. You can quit when you're stuck. I mean, you can really quit. You can really quit. You know the willingness. And you haven't felt free to open up to you. You can come right out. But sometimes that means it's a little bit of a thing to do. But in the time of giving a background, it was then your child in your spouse was going to this spot tonight, to recover the other spouse. This is time when the other spouse is not. There's no nothing about to touch people. You're doing something for them. You're helping them do that. You are demonstrating by your actions, as well as by your words, and when you hit me, I will say, give your whole self to you, this is all possible. This is when you have plans for the moment. We already discussed when you have a plan, sometimes you have to be teaching the word. When you have plans for the moment, give your whole self to you. What do you mean by that? Eye contact is the most important thing. I think individual or mother should remember taking your child's face in your hands and say, look at me. I'm talking to you. Have you ever done that? Sure. Why? Because the child is always saying, he's with you, if they're really doing something. But if they're looking right at you, eye to eye, then you can see it. So we take the eyes and we lose the control. Now, you have that. If you have this quality of the you're a good man. 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 You're a good man.
doesn't realize what he's done to you.
I don't realize what he's done to you.
But that means Christ only forgives you for the things that you have
done. He died on the cross to be our Savior for all the things that you have done. For all of the things I forget, and for all those things I don't even know. And we are to forgive each other just as we are. And when it comes from the Jesus said, let these words hear from the Spirit. Let them say. Now we're talking about a list of deadly weapons which I have classified as reckless words. So if you're trying to say it, if it comes to God, you can hear it. And you can probably add your list and you're a commercial with it. The first thing we're going to talk about is generalization. You say to somebody, you're angry, and so you communicate to your parents. You can never pick out the garbage when you're presenting. You always forget it when it's torn over again. And sometimes the child says, you get angry. They want to do something. And you don't say, everybody else gets to do it except me. These are generalizations. These are generalizations. They are untrue, they are irritating, more than that, they are insensitive. Why? When you use a generalization, when you tell your husband, he's always leaving you at his age, rid of you. When you say always, the first thing he does when he's not listening to what you want to say to him, he's thinking about all the time when he remembers to put the cat back on the table. And so he's immediately, instead of there being any communication in the world, he's thinking how to justify himself and he needs to be so generalization doesn't help. These deadly weapons destroy these things. Another deadly weapon, I say, is consumerism. One child is not consumerism. Yes, sir. our campus is really like, when I call it real large here, we're talking to somebody, we're open to communication, to show you reach out to him, although you're going to give him a hug and give him a slap. That would be, that would be good. And that's the contact we've done with the in whatever it is you do, gives us a diverse and another deadly weapon is communication. Not being interested in what you cause to happen, in what you're perceiving, in what you're feeling, what you're finding, is your future. What's the common startling baby talk about some of the things that are dying in the city? The preteen is talking about a school crisis or a messy hobby. You say, oh, get a life. That's the time going to that thing. It's important to your teenager talking about a job, a new marriage, a sports activity, a current boy or girlfriend, and you're thinking, here we go again. What becomes important to your community? Interested in your child, interested in your child. Learn more about what your child is doing, and you can learn more about your child. Learn more about what it is to try, and you can learn more about your child. Communicate on your child's level, or they will not be the same thing later. Communicate on your spouse's level. And then I would say the last deadly weapon that I have on my list